baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and you fill in the blank. Summer and Chevy go together like road trips and sunshine. Check out the full line of Chevy SUVs and trucks at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. The Blackhawks conclude a four-game road trip in New Jersey with a 5-3 loss to the Devils. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio. We're going to go right back to Prudential Center and bring in Steve Conroy. Steve, tough road trip for the Blackhawks. They obviously pick up a win to open things up, but even got Harry in that third period against the Islanders. And then these last three games, I don't think the Blackhawks played the best that they have wanted to over the last couple.
Yeah, you know, tonight I wasn't as upset, Charlie. Second period, definitely. I'm not too sure what happened to them in the second period. The third period, there was some pushback there, and they got the lead. I know it was at a 5-on-3, but they did get the lead. They scored a power play goal, which they hadn't done in over eight games. And, you know, and then it was the Jack Hughes show. So I don't want to take anything away from him, but he is a special player, and he was a big part of the reason they won tonight. Now, that all being said, I thought he struggled early in this hockey game. I mean, you know, we've obviously been watching him his whole career because he's been a special player, and I just thought he was turning the puck over a lot. It just didn't seem like it was going to be his night. But something happened, and great players can do this. They can turn a bad game into a really good game, and he did that in the span of about 20 minutes. And that third period was really special. Assisted on the game-tying goal, and then gets the next two goals himself, the go-ahead goal, and, of course, the empty net goal for a four-point night. So, you know, overall, I guess the big picture, I love their game in Long Island. I know it got hairy in the third period. They were kind of no-shows in New York and against the Philadelphia Flyers. But this game, I think the coaching staff overall is going to be pretty happy. You know, take out that second period. I guess that's the issue, because there have been flashes of brilliance in this team, but they just can't put together a 60-minute effort. And tonight it was, well, I guess it was the middle period and then maybe late in the third period. But if they can get going for 60 minutes, they're going to have something special.
Yeah, it kind of felt it was like a similar script as the New York Rangers game on Friday, where the first period was solid for overall, and then the second period just totally tilts in the opposition's favor. Now, obviously, this game wasn't as lopsided as the Rangers one, but it kind of felt like a similar script. Good first period, bad second period, and then the third, they were able to get it back on track. But, you know, it's playing, it's making sure that they're carrying that intensity from the first to the second like they did against or I can't even remember the last time they actually did that.
Yeah, you're right. And second periods, especially for young teams, are tough. You know, it's that change. You know, you get the long change, and sometimes you get stuck in your own zone. And I can tell you, you can almost sense it from up here. The other team knows when you're tired, and they know when they can start taking some chances and, you know, maybe some risky plays. And that's exactly what the New Jersey Devils were doing in period number two. They had the Blackhawks on the ropes on a couple of those long extended shifts, and they realize it, and they're like, you know, they're like sharks out there. They smell blood in the water. And they're going to go for it, and that's what they did. And they ended up with a number of shots. Was it 16 shots in the second? I can't even remember now. But
yeah, I think it was 16.
Yeah, and I think that happened against the Rangers, too. I think it was the shots were 16-4 in the second period of the Ranger game, too. So, yeah, there's been an issue with second periods over the last little bit, and they've got to get that fixed.
Yeah, I think part of the frustrating part about this loss, too, was the Hawks held three different leads. They were up 1-0, they were up 2-1, and they were up 3-2, and then they weren't able to kind of get that next goal to increase their lead to a 2-goal lead. And so I think that's now the 10th third period blown lead for the Blackhawks this season. I mean, when you're as young of a team as the Blackhawks, you're obviously going to go through a lot of these growing pains. And so it feels like yet another game where the Hawks are learning the hard way on how to close out games.
Yeah. And those are the lessons that really stick with you. And, you know, I just look back at the game, and boy, had they won tonight, you would have looked at Anton Frondell and thought, boy, this guy, you know, he's a point per game guy, and he's barely what, 18, 19 years of age. He was special. Connor Bedard was really good tonight. I don't think Connor was good early. He was turning it over too, but he turned his game around. Outstanding. I think Frank Nazar, that's the best game he's played, maybe since the Olympic break. He was really, really good. And I'll give some credit to some guys in the back end. I meant to talk about him a little more during the game. It just was one of those games where you couldn't talk about defense. I thought Kevin Korchinski and Ethan Del Mastro, pretty solid back there. You know, you get thrown into a difficult situation, a high octane team with, you know, the Hughes brothers and Nico Hischier and Timo Meier and Jesper Bratt. These guys are elite, elite players. And I thought they were really good. And I'll mention Ryan Donato too. I thought Ryan Donato, I felt bad for him in the third period because it very easily could have been a penalty. He kind of got picked on a play, and that's the goal that Dougie Hamilton scored to tie it. But, you know, there were some really good individual efforts. You know, I'm just, you know, it's unfortunate that it ended up in a losing score because you feel a lot better about yourself after a win.
Yeah, you mentioned Frank Nazar. I thought he was probably the best Blackhawk in this game with first multi-goal game of his NHL career. But he also had 13 shot attempts in this game, 7 shots on a goal, which is a new career high. And then he also won 9 of 13 faceoffs for a win percentage of 69%. So across the board, it felt like Frank Nazar put together his best performance. And it is unfortunate that it did come in a loss.
Yeah, he was very noticeable in this hockey game. He might have even hit a post. He might have been one of the guys who hit a post, so he very easily could have had a hat trick in this hockey game. You know, when you look at it, and this is the way I kind of looked at it, and I talked about it in the first period, he effectively got moved from the second line to the third line. You know, with Anton Frondell taking over center position, he became the second line, the de facto second line center. So now Frankie has to move down to the third line. Now he can do one of two things. He can pout about it, or he can have the game of his life, and I'm not saying it was the game of his life, but he didn't pout about it, and he did a real strong game. And I thought that Burakovsky-Donato line, you know, was good, and they scored the game's first goal. I believe they scored the first goal of the hockey game. And yes, no, they didn't. I take that back. They scored
the second.
They scored the second. But that all being said, now he's getting different matchups because as a second line center, sometimes you're going to see, you know, the first set of the defense, maybe the second set of defense. I noticed tonight he was out a lot against Dillon and Nemec, and that's a third line, third pairing of D for the New Jersey Devils. So maybe a bit of a blessing in disguise. He's not going to get those tougher matchups, and I think he exploited that tonight.
What did you think of the 5-forward power play with Connor Bedard quarterbacking? Like I was pretty intrigued by it, and it felt like they had some looks.
I really liked it. When you get a guy back there who makes passes with authority, he's not guessing out there. He knows what he wants to do, and he knows what his reads are, and he knows what his options are, and he does it with authority. And you know, this certainly isn't a knock on Artie Levchinov or even Sam Rinzel, but you know, they're just trying to make passes. They're just trying to look for the open man. Connor Bedard, I think his mindset is let's exploit the other team here. And boy, he had some really good passes and some smart plays that, you know, not everyone, especially defensemen, are going to be able to make. So it was great. He didn't really get tested one on one. That's my biggest issue is if, let's say, a shot gets blocked and it turns into a 2-on-1 the other way, he's the lone man back. And I'm not saying he can't play a 2-on-1, but he's not really used to him. He doesn't get those kind of reps. So it didn't happen in this game, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. They obviously scored. It was a 5-on-3 goal, but they scored. But I liked the looks they were getting, and I liked the fact that all the plays were running through Connor Bedard, and that's what's going to happen when you're the high guy, the quarterback.
And how about, too, when they got into a 6-on-5 opportunity at the end of the game, they had 6 forwards out there, so they didn't even have a D-man when they went on the 6-on-5 extra attacker opportunity.
Good for you, Charlie. I'm glad you're paying. I didn't even notice that. Good for you. They had some looks there, too. Unfortunately, and I think Frankie was on his back end, he tried to throw it in front of the net, and it ended up going off the side of the net, came right out to a New Jersey Devil player, and it was an easy clear for him, and then Jack Hughes skated into it. But yeah, that's great. 6 forwards, why not? You know, I think Nashville, Tampa has done that in the past, not the 6 forwards, but 5 forwards on the power play. If I get a chance to talk to Jeff Blashill, I will. I think Tampa's used that fight. You know, not a lot of teams do it. We mentioned the pregame show The LA Kings have done it. The Toronto Maple Leafs have done it in the past. I think Tampa might have done it two, maybe three years ago with Kucherov and when Stamkos was still there and Gensel and, you know, a host of others. But yeah, they had an, I thought they were going to tie the game. I really did. They had a little bit of momentum there. Unfortunately, you know, the pass ended up going off the side of the net and an easy breakout for New Jersey.
All right, last one for you. Anton Friendell was playing center in this game for the first time in his NHL career. What'd you think of him down the middle? I know the faceoff department wasn't great for him, only won 2 of 9, but just your thoughts on how he looked in that new role.
How many minutes did he end up with, Charlie? I don't have it right in front of me.
He logged 16 minutes and 52 seconds, so just under 17.
Yeah, I thought he looked great. You know, he did not look out of place. He, you know, sometimes it's easier to get, believe it or not, it's easier to get hit as a centerman because, and I mean, you're not along the boards, but, you know, you've got to be aware of the puck and where other people are, and sometimes you can lose track of both. I thought he did a real good job, not only in his own end, but in the offensive zone. Obviously, he jumped on that miscue by Jake Allen early in this hockey game and picked up one of those assists, one of his two assists. But I just thought that, you know, he didn't look out of place, and I think that's a compliment for an 18, 19-year-old kid coming into the NHL. And he's been making a difference. And, you know, he's going to have to work on faceoffs now, and he'll do that with Michael Pekka, possibly even tomorrow. But, yeah, I like the look, and I like the look of this team with him down the middle. It just seemed like they were rotating, you know, four lines pretty regularly when it wasn't a special team situation, and they all looked really good.
All right, I have some good news for you as you prepare to head back home. You ready for it?
Is it going to be warm there when we land?
It's going to be 75 degrees tomorrow and sunny. So you're going to have a nice off day back home when it's some pretty good weather.
That's dog walking weather right there. That's what I'm going to be doing.
I love it. Well, Steve, safe travels back home. You were on your A game all the entire road trip. I know the Blackhawks weren't, but you were, Steve. So great stuff as always.
I can say the same for you too, Charlie. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That was Steve Conrad over at the Prudential Center where the Blackhawks fall to the New Jersey Devils 5-3. Man, the Hawks holding three different leads at three different times in the game. It just feels like it's a real kick in the you know where. Hawks opening up the game with a 1-0 lead. Ilya Mikheyev, 4 minutes into the, almost a little over 4 minutes into the game. New Jersey ends up countering on the power play. Hawks end up getting the next goal to go up 2-1. Frank Nazar, his 19th goal of the season. I also wrote down that the shots on goal in the first 5 minutes of the game, the first five, maybe like first 7 or 8 minutes of the game, 8-1 in favor of the Blackhawks. Then you fast forward to the second period. The shot attempts to open the middle frame, 13-0 in favor of New Jersey. So the momentum completely got tilted to the New Jersey Devils end. And then in the third period, Hawks had a power play to open the third. They had 5 shot attempts, 2 shots on goal, 4 scoring chances, and 3 high danger chances on that opportunity in the third period. There was like a minute and 58 left because there were 2.2 seconds left in the second period that carried over into the third. And then the power play, the Hawks scored on the 5-on-3 to go up 3-2. And then New Jersey scores 3 unanswered after that. One of them, obviously, an empty net. Man, the Dougie Hamilton goal, the game tying goal, that made it 3-3. That was obviously we're going to go back and look at the film and we can break down what exactly happened. But I don't think Spencer Knight is going to be happy with his positioning on that. He went from right to left and he overskated his crease. And so there was a big opening there on the right hand side. And I mean, it was a perfectly placed shot by Dougie Hamilton, but I think Spencer Knight is going to, would want that back, although it might have gone in, honestly, regardless if he was square. But, you know, and then Jack Hughes ends up scoring 19 seconds later to make it 4-3. And then that place is buzzing. And unfortunately, the Blackhawks weren't able to get the momentum back on their side. And how about Jack Hughes, too? So he has a 4-point game with 2 goals, 2 assists. He also had, he finished with 19 shot attempts, is if I'm doing my math correctly. Yeah, he had 8 shots on goal, 4 were blocked, 7 missed the net. I mean, 19 shot attempts and 4 points. I mean, he was sensational. And I'm even looking at some of the numbers for Jack Hughes since the Olympic break. He now has 27 points over a 16-game stretch. That ranks tied for third among all NHL players during that stretch. Only Nikita Kucherov and Connor McDavid have more points than Jack Hughes since the Olympic break. So he was just absolutely sensational, and he really showed why he was one of the heroes for Team USA at the Olympics. And kind of funny, because it came a full circle for the New Jersey Devils, because I didn't get a chance to talk about it in my pregame show, but I did at the end of the postgame show on Friday when we were previewing this game. Is the New Jersey Devils season went sideways really after the first meeting in Chicago, because later that day, it was November 12th, New Jersey was 13-4-1 in their first 18 games. I think that they might have been sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference right out of the gate in those first 18. They end up going to, I don't know if it was a rookie dinner or if it was just a team dinner. They end up going downtown Chicago to Chicago Cut, and Jack Hughes ends up cutting his finger at the dinner, and he misses an extended period of time, and things just went sideways for the New Jersey Devils after that game. And so it's funny that it comes full circle, where I know New Jersey's not going to they're not in the playoff hunt right now, but Jack Hughes just flexing his muscles in this game and being by far the best player of anyone on either team. It kind of comes full circle, a little bit of redemption for a guy like Jack Hughes, who was obviously, could have, I know they won the game against Chicago, but things went very sideways after that game at the United Center. We do have some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. Frank Nazar and Ryan Donato were the two members of the locker room that spoke. So we'll hear what some of them had to say when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Bedard kept it in right point. 10 seconds on the 5-on-3. Bedard over to Nazar, left circle. Heiss left, Rundell. Till Bedard, right circle. Over to Nazar, one-timer, he scores! Power play goal, and the Hawks take the lead again at 3-2. And they'll still have a minute and 7 seconds of power play time with which to work against the Devils. Frank Nazar let it rip. And for Nazar, that's his second goal of the night, number 14 of the season. 3-2 Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. I thought that Frank Nazar goal might stand as the game winner, but the Blackhawks unfortunately were not able to shut the door, giving up 3 unanswered. That was the first multi-goal game of Frank Nazar's NHL career. Here's to many more for him. I thought he was maybe the best Blackhawk forward in this game, just Blackhawk as a whole. You could probably put Connor Bedard in that category as well, but I thought he was really good. And on that power play goal, the Blackhawks snapped an 0-for-24 drought. They came into tonight's game 0-for-23 in their last 8 games. Hawks then failed to take advantage of their first power play of the game that happened late in the second period that carried over into the third, but the Hawks finally get off the schneid on the power play with that Frank Nazar goal. And so congratulations to Frank Nazar too, first career multi-goal game, but also 14 points now in his last 14 games. So since the Olympic break, feels like Frank Nazar has started to look more like himself, and he's gotten his confidence back from pre-injury from the fractured jaw. So good to see that, and hopefully he continues to do that moving forward. He was one of the players that spoke to the media a little bit ago. Let's hear what Nazar had to say.
It's pretty new lines for everybody today. How'd you feel this game with the third line?
Honestly, I loved it. You know, I think Berkey and Donald were working really hard today and playing really well. Able to connect on a goal and many chances. I mean, first period we could have easily had 3, right? And I thought we played really well together as a group. Got to, you know, clean some things up, but that's all. You know, they're fun to play with. Guys are easy to read off of, and it was good.
Do you think it's just part of the learning process when they took the Devils took the lead that fast? Do you think it's part of the learning process learning to bounce back in those moments where that happens?
Yeah, I think you could say so, right? I think anytime you lose, you can learn from it. So, you know, we're going to go back, do some video, and, you know, figure out how to be better and go from there.
Is this a hard team to kind of exchange chances with? They have so much offensive firepower and use this plan like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to have a guy like Nider and the net behind us. You know, he made a lot of great A saves, right? So he definitely, you know, saved our butts again. But, yeah, it's one of those run and gun teams where if you give them chances off the rush, that they're going to score, you know, and you just can't keep giving them those opportunities.
What happened with those 2 goals in 20 seconds? Can you explain what happened in the sequence?
I don't know. It just happened fast. You know, I've still got to go over the game myself, and you know, I haven't had much time. I've got to get in and out of here, and something I'll go over. You know, I want to have some time to just sit down.
So, how would you categorize your road trip overall?
I think we started off strong, obviously, and with the Islanders played strong, and then two tough games, but. You know, that's hockey. We just got to figure out ways to, you know, push through these hard times and times where we're maybe not feeling our best, right? And, you know, that's part of the learning process like we were talking about. And, you know, we're going to learn from that for sure. There's no doubt in my mind that we're going to become a better hockey team. And there's ups and downs you're going to go through. But, you know, let's come out of this with a positive mindset of, you know, we went here, we got better. And, you know, we're going to continue to go forward.
Do you feel like this is one of those times where the team isn't feeling its best, just like a bit of fatigue maybe right now?
I don't know. If I knew the answer, I think we'd be top of the standings, right? But I think it's just everybody goes through its learning process. You know, that I have full belief in our team. I think our team can skate with any other team in the league, right? Like, I love these guys, and I think everybody in here's got the heart and the skill to do it, right? It's just sometimes stuff like that happens, I guess, and we gotta, you know, like I said, learn from it, go back home, you know, get a good practice in, and then get on the road again, and you know, just be better on the road.
You kind of like where your game's at? I mean, it felt like you had multiple chances, even more than the 2 goals tonight.
Yeah, I thought tonight was a good day for me. I think there's definitely chances to improve on and spots to improve, but you know, after the last 2 games, definitely need the game to, you know, come back and, you know, play the right way.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Frank Nazar talking about his individual performance, but also the team's performance in a 5-3 loss to the New Jersey Devils. I'm looking at some of the numbers from this game, and the Blackhawks gave up 53 scoring chances in all situations in this game. This is the fourth straight contest and fifth time in the last 6 games that the Blackhawks have given up at least 40 scoring chances in a game. For context, the Hawks have given up at least 40 scoring chances 13 times this season. So 4 of those 13 and 5 of those 13 have come in the last 6 games. And so, young team, growing pains. And obviously that's the post trade deadline team as well. So when you lose veterans like Jason Dickinson, Nick Foligno, and Connor Murphy, you're probably going to feel it on the back end. And so no surprise that it's been a little bit of a struggle for the Blackhawks over the last several games defensively as they kind of sort things out. And like their blue line is just, it's so young. Matt Grizzlick hasn't played on the road trip because he's injured. And so their oldest defenseman, I think, is Alex Vlasic at 24 years old. So it's just, it's a really, really young blue line. And so they're trying to figure it out together. The other guy, Ryan Donato, I thought he was noticeable in this game and playing on a line with Frank Nazar and Ilya Mikheyev. Andre Burakovsky. Let's hear what Donato had to say following his team's performance.
Seemed like you guys were able to create a lot of chances, but also gave up a lot and just kind of got burned a little bit there at the end with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, our bread and butter is, you know, we get it low and play a very simple game and then let our offense take over. And that's what we did for a lot of the game and in spurts. And we got to, you know, figure out a way to, you know, continue to grow and mature and find a way to, you know, finish those games and learn how to, you know, play the right way and, you know, stay on our toes.
Yeah, this whole trip was almost, I think you guys allowed almost 40 shots on goal every night. What, do you see any trends defensively right now?
I think that's more of a ask for the coaches. Obviously, they give us a great game plan every night. We just got to execute it. I think it's more on us just, you know, executing, making the little plays and, you know, being solid in our details. And, you know, our goalies are, you know, have been amazing all season. And, you know, it's tough to see them, you know, put in those situations where we're giving up that many chances. And, you know, we're learning and we're growing, but at the same time, we got to, you know, mature fast. So.
New lines for pretty much everybody today. How'd you feel skating with Berg again?
Good. I mean, they're easy guys to play with. Frankie's obviously I've played with Berkey a little bit before, and then, you know, with Frankie, he knows how to, you know, get in the right areas and find ways to, you know, score goals and use his speed and get his shot off. So he's another guy that I really enjoy playing with, and, you know, I think we had some chemistry there tonight, and, you know, hopefully we can learn how to play in more meaningful situations to, you know, execute those. But at the same time, I think there were some good things that we did, but at the same time, I think we got to, you know, continue to grow, and, you know, we can't just be, you know, satisfied with, you know, creating some chances. I think we got to learn how to play the right way and continue to, you know, grow as a team and as a line.
Can you explain the two goals in 20 seconds? It seemed like the guys were tied. It seemed like it was a pretty even game.
Which one?
Two goals in 20 seconds. You get them.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, the momentum's a crazy thing, right? They score that big goal and, you know, it's deflating, but at the same time, we got to, you know, step up and be ready for the next shift. And I think guys were, but I think at the same time, you know, the puck went in. Guy, you know, Jack Hughes is a great player. He makes a really good play. But at the same time, we just, you know, we got to continue to grow and, you know, be ready for those situations.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato. What a pass that he made on the first of two Frank Nazar goals in the first period. Just really nifty in the way he was able to slide it over there. And so I thought Donato had a solid game. And unfortunately, though, it came up. Donato, I'm looking here, 9 shot attempts. He had only 1 on goal, but he had 4 blocked, 4 missed shots, 9 shot attempts. That's more the Ryan Donato that we saw last year, where it feels like he was shooting everything. I'd like to see him get back to that as well. And hopefully a lot more of those can come from high danger areas. We do have more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including Jeff Blashill's postgame press conference. That's coming up next right here on 720. WGN.
McKayev put it out of harm's way up the right wing to center ice. Grandel hands the puck off. And Cremier firing it down. Oh, they had a trouble with the puck. They score in front of the Hawk net. Excuse me, in front of the Devil net. Ilya McKayev was standing there waiting for a pass from Grandel, and he did. And what happened was the Devil goalkeeper, Jake Allen, went behind the net to play the carom of the puck. He lost the puck in his feet. Grandel hustled in and poked it in front to McKayev, who buried it. It's 1-0 Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. That was the goal that got things started for the Blackhawks 4 minutes and 19 seconds into the contest, and a primary assist for Anton Grandel, who had 2 assists in this game. First career multi-point performance. He now has 4 points in his 4 games in the NHL, all of them assists. 3 of the 4 are primary assists. So another decently impressive performance by Anton Grandel, who had 5 shot attempts, 3 of them on net. Faceoff circle, a little bit of a struggle, only 1-2 of 9. But I thought he looked comfortable in that second line center role. Time now for tonight's Ice Time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Wyatt Kaiser led the way for the Blackhawks. 22 minutes and 27 seconds of ice time. Sam Renzel, his D partner, was second on the team, 20 minutes and 49 seconds. And third was Connor Bedard at 20 minutes and 40 seconds. Only Alex Vlasic was the fourth player that had more than 20 minutes for the Blackhawks at 20 minutes and 13 seconds of ice time. Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill spoke to the media just a little bit ago to talk about his team's performance. Let's hear what he had to say after this game.
Felt like the first was what I'm looking for, and then maybe derailed a little bit again?
I thought there was moments in the second that were good, moments in the third that were good, and moments that weren't. You know, it's kind of different depending on shifts. We gave up too many chances probably second and third, but that's going to be, you know, that's partly them. They're a stretch team and got us a couple times, so put ourselves in position to win. We got to find a way to win.
Would you like to see less of a run-and-gun game, considering they do want to play that style?
Yeah, we don't want to give up 2-on-1s for fun, you know, for sure. But listen, whatever I saw before the game, I think our oldest center was 22, and our D could be playing in the NCAA tournament right now. They're going to make some mistakes, and we're going to have to be patient, and they're going to have to learn. You know, and that's just reality. The whole group. I'm just not saying, and you know, it just puts a lot of pressure on. So it's part of it, man. It's part of where we're at, and we just got to keep grinding through and making sure, again, that you know, as you go through some of these frustrating moments where you give up a lead late, that you're learning. There's nothing wrong with failure if you learn from it, but we got to make sure we learn from it.
So it sounds like you were more okay with this performance than the last.
Oh, I mean, we played hard. We weren't perfect, obviously, but we played hard. So yeah, from an attitude and an approach, we were. I thought it was much better.
Two goals in 20 seconds. You throw a bit of a head down for your team to say that you were playing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like of course, like you know, when you give up two goals like that, it's hard, right? And you know, we made a little bit of a mistake on a track, a little bit of a mistake in a forecheck, and they got good players. And you know, I thought Spencer, you know, had made some really good saves prior to that to kind of probably mask some mistakes. So we got to get back and keep finding ways to eliminate some of these mistakes so we're not giving up as much for sure. It's just all part of it.
How do you think Frondell did at center?
Yeah, I thought he did good. You know, he's not even a week into his NHL career and playing center and against some, you know, real good players at times. I thought he looked good. He's, you know, front, he's really strong in the puck, wins a ton of those, stops on pucks, he's got a lot of winning habits, so I thought he did a good job.
Do you think this is the best Nazar has been playing this year? Today was his first multi-goal game.
I think Frankie's you know, done great. You know, he's done a good job. So he's just got to stay with it and you know, continuing to build on what's been a real good start. So, real good little stretch here. So he's just got to keep playing good hockey.
You pretty much went down to four defensemen for most of the third period. What was the rationale there?
I just think you're kind of, you know, you got two really young guys in terms of relative to the league. You know. So we're just making decisions as we go. You got to remember, you know, some of that was power play, and we had no defensemen out for that. You know, so those guys are rested, and so then you're going to put those guys back out. And so it was it wasn't like we have to limit their minutes. It's just the reality of the decisions. As you know, I think Hughes and them started playing a lot, and so we had certain matchups that we were looking at, and they started coming out a lot. So they're coming over the wall a lot. We want to put our guys in the best position to succeed.
How would you categorize the road trip overall for you?
I don't really look at it that way. I look, you know, we're a team that's played the game, learned from the game, move on to the next game. It's kind of how we've been the whole time, you know. So I don't look at it in that sense. You know, I thought today we had a meeting this morning. We talked about doing some things. Some of those things we did better. You know, obviously some things we still got to clean up, and that's what we're going to look at on Tuesday.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. A little bit of an honest assessment there when talking, just putting things into perspective, how the Blackhawks' oldest center in this game was 22 years old when you factor in Connor Bedard, Anton Frondell, Frank Nazar, and Sacha Boisvert, and saying how their D could be playing in the NCAA tournament right now. And because Matt Grzelcyk was not part of this road trip because of an injury, the Hawks just had six all young defensemen. I actually saw Dana Gray, the voice of the Rockford IceHogs, had tweeted out earlier today, all six members of the Blackhawks blue line in tonight's game went through Rockford at some point over the last couple years. So it's still a really young blue line for the Blackhawks, and the Hawks just have to find a way to, like Jeff said, keep grinding through. They were without Artem Levchinov in this game as well. Suffered a mini fracture in his left hand against the Islanders on Tuesday, but he ended up playing through it over the last couple games against Philadelphia and the Rangers. They decided to take him out of the lineup tonight, rightfully so. Hawks are flying back to Chicago tonight. He'll have some more testing done, imaging scans, whatever they need to do to determine a firmer timeline on how long he could be out. But the fact that the Hawks only have 8 regular season games left makes me feel like it could potentially be a long shot for him to return, unless this mini fracture, you know, you can play through without injuring it or further injuring it more. So we'll have to see on that status. And Kevin Korchinski was a guy that slid into the lineup for Artem Levchinov. He got called up earlier today. He logged 12:09 of ice time. And you heard Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times asked Jeff Blashill about kind of going down to 4D in the third period. Korchinski only had 3 shifts in that third period. So the Hawks kind of leaned more heavily on Renzel, Kaiser, Vlasic, Crevier, and kind of sheltered the Del Mastro and Korchinski pairing in that third period. All right, let's take our final break here, and then let's wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Hawks wrapped up a four-game road trip in New Jersey tonight, went 1-3-0 on it, losing all three of the final few games in regulation. So let's see if they can bounce back when they return home on Tuesday. Before we preview that game, let's do a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. How about an update? Blackhawks inked another prospect to an entry-level contract on Friday. It was third-round pick from 2023, Yuri Felkman, who signed a three-year entry-level contract, $996,000 cap hit. He had 20 points in 52 games this year in Switzerland's top league, 3 goals, 17 assists. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but Switzerland is not really known for a league that's high-powered offensively, but Felkman had a breakout year. He also had 2 assists in 7 games for Team Czechia at the 2025 Worlds, helped them win a bronze medal. He's a guy that's really big. 6'4", 198 pounds, so he has some frame to fill, but he's 20 years old and projects more as like a bottom six center for the Blackhawks. Some size, he's smart, brings some physicality, a defensive prowess to his game, but he also played on the power play in Switzerland. So I imagine he's going to be more of a Rockford guy at the start of next year, but could be an intriguing piece to the Blackhawks if he continues to progress in the way that he has over the last couple years. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Finally, the Blackhawks are back at the United Center on Tuesday when they host the Winnipeg Jets. 7:30 start, 7 o'clock pregame show. This is going to be the last home game before the Blackhawks have a 4-game homestand to finish out the 2025-26 season, and they're going to do it against former Blackhawks captain Jonathan Toews and the Winnipeg Jets, who were at Wrigley Field earlier today as an entire team. Jonathan Toews throughout the first pitch before the Chicago Cubs game. We saw Connor Hellebuck and Kyle Connor were also honored during the game, sitting in the stands for helping Team USA win a gold medal at the Olympics. And so cool for them to be in town already because they're on like a mini road trip. And so let's see what kind of version of the Winnipeg Jets we get. They are 9-4-4 with 22 points since the Olympic break. That's tied for 6th in the NHL. So they're still long shot to make the playoffs, but we'll see if they can get in if they continue to stay hot. Hopefully they don't do so on Tuesday against the Blackhawks. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call from New Jersey, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 5-3 loss to the Devils. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday from the UC.